Well, we still get to be in the book of John for a few more weeks, and I love that John had a purpose when he wrote his book. He wrote it so that we could know Jesus and have eternal life. And this section is no exception to that. We're going to be looking at John chapter 20. So if you're in your pew Bibles there, page 1656, John 20. Last fall, we had a storm, and in the morning I went over to Maloney Creek and noticed a lot of changes. Where we'd been monitoring the creek for a couple of years, and maybe a half inch of silt had started to build up in that collection area. That one evening, there was about 5 or 6 feet in some places, more in others, that built up in one evening. And as you walk up the trail, you start noticing that there were sections of the bank that had just basically washed away and disappeared, and trees that had come in. And of course, the town workers had been busy down at the bridge all night trying to pull logs out of the river because a section of the town was flooding. And I didn't see, it was dark, I didn't see the riverbank wash away, didn't see the big old pile of lumber that the Forest Service had secured years and years ago, thinking that it would stay secure, didn't see that break loose, didn't see any of the things that happened. But we saw the aftermath. We saw the results. It was very clear that something had happened. There'd been an event. And today we're talking about some people where we left off last week, Jesus Christ had been buried. And in his burial, it was kind of a rush-up job. There was a lot of preparation from a couple guys, Joseph and Nicodemus. Nicodemus had brought a lot of spices and things, and they'd gotten Christ's body wrapped in spices and linen cloths, and they laid him in a tomb, and the tomb was closed. John doesn't tell us some of the rest of the story, where there were soldiers that were placed outside the tomb because the Jewish leaders had listened to Jesus predict that he was going to come back to life in a few days after he was buried. And so they wanted to make sure that the disciples didn't come and sneak the body away and say, look, he's been resurrected and he's alive. And so they were worried about this. So they sealed the tomb with the official seal. They had soldiers outside the tomb, and they were going to do everything they could to make sure that Christ stayed in that tomb. And that was the last that the disciples and the women that had been at the cross knew. They'd seen him die. They knew he was fully dead. That was documented well by John and others. And they knew that he'd been buried. Now, normally, someone's died and they've been buried. That's kind of the end of the story for them. And I don't think that any of the disciples really believed that there was going to be a resurrection. They had hope that was just torn away from them. And it was gone. And as they start moving forward, they're looking for ways that they can continue to grieve. They're looking for ways that they can be near him, knowing that he's in a tomb. Especially the women. It seems like, you know, in John, he keeps talking about how the women were the ones that were supporting and loving Christ much more than the men in some ways. They were always there for Jesus. Isn't it still like that a lot of times? In John chapter 20, verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. That would most likely be John that was writing this book, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." She says, "We don't know where they have put him." That alludes to the fact that she wasn't alone when she went to this tomb. And John only mentions her. The other Gospels mention that there were some other women that went with her to this tomb. I don't know who the "they" is that she's talking about here. They have taken the Lord. We don't know where they have put him. And for whatever reason, she thought that he's gone. Later we see her where she's talking and thinking the person she's talking to is the gardener and wondering where he'd put Jesus. And I'm guessing that she probably thought, okay, this is a nice tomb here. Don't want to let it go to waste. You know, we're just going to move the body and we'll reuse it or something. So for whatever reason, maybe the soldiers, maybe she thought they had taken Jesus away. But whoever it wasn't her, and it wasn't the disciples that she was reporting to. If it had been them, they would have said, yeah, we know where he is. We hid him so that the Romans wouldn't do anything crazy. Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. For whatever reason, that day John was a faster runner. I don't know if it's because he was younger and stronger or because Peter was feeling a little reluctance possibly. But John had to report that he was faster. He won the race. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. The picture that we have here is he's looking in. There's strips of linen. They're lying in order. They're lying in a way that they had wrapped a body, but there's no body in them. He didn't see a tomb full of chaos. Fred Black is, you know, back in Arizona. The reason he went back there because he got a call from the police that his place had been broken into, and he got there and found that, you know, his office had been messed up, papers moved everywhere, lots of just crazy stuff as you walk into your home feeling a little violated that somebody's decided to get into your personal space. Kathy and I, when we were in Tacoma, I got home one day from work and I realized that someone had been in the house. You know, there's just this feeling, you can kind of tell. And then when you find the broken window and you realize how they got in, and you'll start to look around and find out, okay, what's different here? John's looking into this tomb and he sees something that doesn't feel like what he expected to see. Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. That's our Peter. He just rushes into everything. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. So it's just kind of, it's all laying out there, somewhat orderly. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. What did he believe? It seems like from the total context here, what he actually believed was that the body was gone. He may have been starting to have some hope about a resurrection here, but I'm not sure that he had full understanding yet. It's like when I went and looked at the debris that had been washed down the river, washed down the creek. I believed that there was an event that had taken place upstream. As I went to explore, I could see where a lot of that debris came from. I have not walked all the way up to the lakes on Maloney Creek to find out if there's other places that washed out that same night. I suspect that there were, because it looked like there was a whole lot more debris washed down, silt, rocks, things that washed down that stream than what would have come out of the banks where I saw them washed out. So he's building on the evidence. Remember why John wrote this book. It's so that we will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we'll have life in his name. Part of believing in Jesus is believing in this resurrection, believing that he has power over death. He is the first fruits of life. He's the one that can bring life and give life. And they're starting to see there's some evidence that there's not a dead body where they expected to find a dead body. They're looking and it's not there. And so he believed. But then the next thing it says, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And I'm sure that Mary was there, Mary the mother of Jesus, and John goes back to where they're staying. Now Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb crying. So she'd come back, they'd run back, and she got back to the tomb. She's standing outside the tomb crying. Why would she do that? She knows there's no body in there. She really is grieving for her lost Lord, her lost friend. And as she wept, she bent over to look inside the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Some of the other Gospels report that, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" is what they told her. "Why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" She says, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've laid him or put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Makes you kind of wonder, why did she turn around? Did the angels all of a sudden recognize that Christ was there and look up? Did she hear something, feel a sense of someone being there? She turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers, and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." I love that Jesus recognizes his followers as brethren. We're all part of his family. We're brothers and sisters. We share a Father now. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. It's a pretty simple little story. Jesus is alive. And someone has met him. He met her. And she has gone to witness what she knows. She's told them what she saw and what she heard. It's the word of Jesus that's going to change the lives of these disciples. When we get into the book of Acts, where it talks about all of the other people that had seen him, when we read in Corinthians, there's a list. At one time, he saw 500 people. He talked to his brother James. He talked to a lot of individuals. But this time, the first one, Mary, a woman that was seeking and finding. We're promised, seek and you will find. She went to the tomb, the place that she would hope that, you know, it's the last place she knew where he had been. And she found him there. If we've lost Jesus, where's the last place we were when we knew his presence? Are we willing to go there and linger and wait and see? Will he come show himself to us again? Peter and the other disciples, even John, the disciple that Jesus loved, I think at this point they're hearing it and hoping it's right and believing, sort of. Keeps talking about belief at different levels. "These are written," John says, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It's more than just an intellectual belief. In Hebrews it talks about how without faith it's impossible to please God. Without trust, without belief, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone that comes to him has to first believe that he exists. Not just the historical baby Jesus in the manger. Not just the Jesus on the cross, but the resurrected Jesus. Believe that he exists now in the present. If we don't start there, there's no way to move on beyond and have faith that's eternal life faith. Faith that's going to give us that peace that we need. Faith that's going to bring us again and again to Christ. It's a really simple message. It took way less time than I was allotted today. And that's okay. I'm going to stop because I'm done. Not because it's not important. And this is way early. I'm going to turn off the recorder and all that, and then it's off.